I met Tim a few months ago, actually, at a conference I was in Orlando attending, and it just so I got invited to a dinner by a lab rep or something like that, and I went to the dinner, and she invited Tim too, and I could just tell right away from being around him that we're kindred spirits, and that the way his eyes lit up whenever he started talking about recovery and what this actually means to him. And what little I know of his story is he deserves to be here doing this tonight, and that this power, whatever this power is that we try to help you guys tap into, it's in him and it works through him. And he works in this industry too. He helps other people in another state do what we're trying to do here. And we feel very blessed that he's here with us now. And, he's a friend. And he's going to be a bigger friend as time goes on, I know. So you'll welcome him. His name's Tim Roberto.
Total drug addict. My name is Tim. And I say recovered because I no longer suffer from the seemingly hopeless state of mind. And if you want to know what I suffered from, just read this chapter in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called More About Alcoholism. And I also like to say the truth about alcoholism. It's all about this power that's greater than ourselves. That no human will could ever, ever accomplish. All of us, whether you're alcoholic addict or not, are living proof to what I just said. There's a power in this room right now that is electrifying. I'm living life right now. I am so blessed right now compared to where I came from and compared to the damage and the harm that I bore others. From my mother and father to loved ones to my ex-wife and to these two beautiful boys I call my sons that didn't ask to be here because I kept running on the self-will. Self-will. Run wild, try it. I had the inability to see the truth. The inability to see the power of the sunlight, to be standing in the power of the sunlight. Drugs and alcohol blocks us from that. It robs the soul when you're wired like me. I have two issues going on with me. I have a total mental failure, and as the doctor puts it, it's this mental obsession. My wheels are always spinning. I'm irritable. I'm restless. I'm discontent. When I was a little boy, I was always uncomfortable. I was the youngest of five boys. The youngest of five boys. And I didn't know how to be settled. I didn't know how to be still. I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. And you don't have to be alcoholic or addict to feel like what I just said. You don't have to be alcoholic or addict to feel like what I just said. On my way out here, I teared sometimes because when I'm standing in the spirit of the sunlight, when I'm in God's grace, there's nothing but love and honesty and life. There's so much life in this room right now. And on my way out, 6 years ago I was homeless. Homeless. Sleeping in a truck. Waiting to get into treatment. Because I had the inability to stop. Please, if you're on the other side of this, please, you have to get help, just like I do. I'm very sick. I'm not evil, and I'm not justifying you when I say that. I just don't know how to live life on life's terms. And all I know is to drink or drug. That's all I've ever known. I was 11 years old. When I was still out here in that fishbowl, or outside in that world looking in, I took that first hit of marijuana and I went, there was no more eggshells anymore. I was free. And I'm 11 years old already, and I felt free. I look back now, you know, it was... I'm an alcoholic and an addict to the fullest extent. I am the genetically predisposed to this illness. Not only through my mental thinking, the way I process, because it's my thinking that puts it in. And when I put in, I can't stop. Because the doctor also tells us about this allergy. It triggers this allergy, which is the phenomenon of craving. I had a crave anything. I had a mental obsession. And when I put in, the obsession left me. My thinking got shelved. And I was driven by this unstoppable phenomenon of craving, regardless of the consequences. So please don't take it personally. I had the inability to see the truth. It was all about me. It was all about me because I didn't like how I felt. And when you're on the other side, if you had a father or a mother or a brother that was alcoholic, God bless them and God bless you and God bless all of us. Because when I'm sick, we're all sick. But there's hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. And I have to find that hope. And I found that hope through the power of God. Through the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. And through the 12 steps. And this book that saved millions of people before me. Millions of people before me. This book offers us some of the most incredible, if not some of the most influential, spiritual writings. You know all this book, Our Steps, came to us, everybody that contributed to this, prior to our incredibly God-given teacher, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, all this information started and came to us from non-alcoholics. And we need to remember that. Because I suffer from the seemingly hopeless state of mind. God's gift to a guy like me, a way out that I could understand, because I'm a human being, and on top of that, I'm blocked from the spirit of the sunlight. I'm blocked from the power. This I can understand. I never had anybody talk to me like this. Somebody explained to me this doctor's opinion. I never knew what I suffered from. I never knew what to do. Because since I was 11 years old, I hit the pause button. The first word in that book is Bill's story. The very first word starts out with war. War is the very first word. And I was in a war. I was in the battle of my life. How many people in this room know somebody that's died from drinking or drugging? This is the undisputed champ. The first word is war. And if you go to the very last word in this book, in those stories, in the back, the last word in this book is God. I was in a war for 33 years. I was in a battle for my life. I've been in the Marine Corps, and I know what it's like. same effects. I was shredding I was shredding communities. And I was shredding children. This is a phenomenal gift. People are recovering here. People are actually recovering here. There's no more excitement when I come into a place like this compared to where we all came from, whether you're alcoholic or not. Because I know what a guy like you brings to your life when I'm sick. And it's not the Wizard of Oz. Where everything ends all happy. And to see you all smiling and having hope and this spirit of kinship, this camaraderie, that's what it's all about. Regardless of what's happened, regardless. Every single one in this room right now, every single one of us is as old as we've ever been. And we're as young as we'll ever be. Everybody following me here? We're as young. I am as old as I've ever been at this moment, right now. And I'm as young as I'll ever be. So I never prepare when I do this. I never prepare because we're all connected. Jason just gave you a perfect example of it. As long as this alcoholic addict chooses one day at a time to remain a black dot. Because when I remain a black dot, not trying to run the show, and that goes all for the other people that aren't like me too, because you're pretty good at that. I say that with all the respect. I really do. I know what I do. The lines will be drawn. And they're drawn all the time. I walked in here. I didn't even get in here yet. And there's Scott. I know Scott. Right, Scott? I was born August 7th, 1962. 50 years plus. I'm walking in a place. And here's a guy I know. 1,500 miles away from where I live. 1,500 miles away. And I was going to come in here also, and I never know which way I'm going to go, and I was going to say, who's from New Jersey? You got any? And I'm going to shoot in the dark. You know, I'm in Texas, so we got a couple, because I'm from New Jersey. Ah, look at this. All right. Oh, that's who I'm talking about, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
He says, I'm from New Jersey. I said, oh man, now I got to start with a different one, you know, a different introduction. Because that was going to be one of my first things. It's a $100 bill, right? How many of you, right now, if I was to give it to you, would take this?
Fuck you.
Right? How about if I did this? Who would take it, sir? I stomped it in the ground, I rubbed it in the dirt, and all that stuff. Rip didn't even... Who would take it, sir? I would, too, because it has worth. It has value. And regardless if you drink or drug, we have the isms, which is the thinking part, minus the substance. You have worth, just as much as I do, regardless of how my decisions crumbled my life, regardless of how much I stomped on myself into the dirt, I always had worth. I just didn't know it. So if you ever, ever think you don't have worth, get rid of that and do whatever you need to do. If you're like me, get into the steps with your sponsor and establish that relationship with that power greater than yourself, like the benchmark alumni. I love seeing alumni. I love it because it works. and I need to see that. I need to see these lines drawn. This makes me realize what I got to keep doing. Because I'm wired to unwire. I'm wired to unwire. And if I don't on a daily basis say yes, pray, and ask God to relieve me of this bondage and to keep me from a drink or a drug just for today, I'll be okay. Because my past, my history proves to me I'm wired to unwire, and I will every time. It's always just a matter of time. Always. So the central fact, it's nothing but this. This book is amazing. It says there is a solution. How many of the moms and dads on the other side did not know what to do? Had no idea what to do, right? Hopeless, right? Scared. Are they going to make it back? What do I do? This says right here, there is a solution. Not a maybe, not go spin the wheel, not go buy a ticket. There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. This is the truth. This blocks out all denial, all the excuses, and all the enabling. This is the truth. But we saw that it really worked in others. An alumni. Me. And we had to come to believe in the hopelessness and the futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved. Not a little bit. Not solved. Clear and precise. There was nothing left for us to do but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. Thank you, God. Thank you, places like Benchmark. Thank you, founder Peter David Houston.
Mark Houston.
Thank God. These people were phenomenal. These guys are the soldiers. Look what they're doing here for people. Look at all the happy smiles I've seen when I walked in here. I love this stuff. I love it. Because I know the pain that you are in on the other side. My passion for this burns like a fire inside me. It burns when I run into people like this. I know there's a reason. I know there is. Because for 33 years, I suffered tremendously. And I mean tremendously. It's a lot of loss. A lot of loneliness. A lot of despair. The never-ending war. Never-ending battle. This gift that's given to me, hopefully to you, and if you haven't gotten it yet, that you're working on it. That you're doing this 12 steps of Al-Anon. That you're getting the help that you deserve because you have value. You might not think it all the time, and that's okay, but you do. And you'll realize that more and more, the more active you get in taking care of yourself through a power greater than yourself. It's a must. We're spiritual beings. We are. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Look how we're all brought here. Look at the miracle in the process. The miracle in this process is incredible. The way I was brought here. Hell, I was nurtured in my mother's womb. God, through my mother, gave me everything I needed in there. Everything. I had all the love. I had all the security. I had all the food, the nourishment, everything. Because I was this spiritual being, had this human experience. It was my human journey that went a bit wacky. We're all very special in our own very unique way. God does not make any junk. He does not make any junk. This is all for a reason, I believe it. We're healing. We're healing. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed to the fourth dimension of existence, of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this, and nothing less. That we have had a deep and effective spiritual experience which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God. I love my God today. I got something today I always wanted. I just never knew how to get it. I love my God today. A little under six years ago, I lost everything. I lost this beautiful wife that loved me, these two beautiful boys. My parents were already creeping up into their 80s, and I was rocking their world. And when I showed up to this place homeless, I couldn't stop every morning for two months crying. I met this man. He said, "I want you to start praying." And I said, "I don't know what I'm doing with that." And he says, "Perfect." I went, "What? Oh, gosh, that out of his mind." He goes, "That's perfect. That's exactly where you need to be. All I want you to say starting tonight is, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. And when you get up in the morning, I want you to say the same thing. I have not used a drink or a drug since." Told you, right? 11 years old. 44 when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Do the math. I have not used since. The obsession has been removed. The seemingly hopeless state of mind. The truth about alcoholism. Towards our fellow, towards God, universe, the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He lives in all of us. God is everywhere. Everywhere. It's just that one thing that we got that nobody else has. And that's wealth. That's will. Our will is always in conflict with the Spirit. Always. Do you know there's all kinds of movement in here right now? When's the last time you thought about that? Even in that chair. Right? There's all kinds of movement in there. Atoms, electrons, put all that stuff. Seems solid, but there's light. It's governed by its will. It's governed by a set of laws in there, just like this is. And when you step outside here, this beautiful planet, this beautiful air acreage here, 75 acres, everything is just right. And it's so balanced. It's perfect. And you sprinkle a little bit of man's will in there. Free will. And look what it does. Look what it does. has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. If you are seriously alcoholic, as Tim was, we believe there is no middle of the road, and there isn't. It's either you're all in or you're all out. Just when I was drinking and driving, I was either, you know, like the volume on a map, and it goes 0 through 10. I was never 5 or 6. I was either on 0 or 10. So I'm either all in or I'm all out. And when I'm out, it's free will run riot. If you are serious, as we are, you were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into a region from which there is no return through human aid, we had to, but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end. And I pray for the brothers and sisters that have lost this disease a lot, because I have their families in my life. Blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. This is the solution to alcoholism. So I was this little boy. I grew up in this home. Father was a well-known doctor in New York. Served my country in the Marine Corps. Everything you think would be, you know, what it's supposed to be. I was the youngest of 5 boys. By 8 years old, I was already sexually molested by a man in a pet store. Because there, you know, they call it alcoholism because the ism part is the thinking part. Alcohol is the putting in. Even at 8 years old, I already felt shame and guilt. I was already, and all I wanted to be was loved. I just wanted to be loved. And at that age, you know, I'm one of 5 boys, and there was a big age difference. So when you're 8 years old, your brother's 18, and he's jacked up, he's got a beard. You know, it's like it's God. It's, and God's living in your house. And when you're 18, it's the last thing you want is your little brother. That's, I always felt pushed away. I always felt abandoned. And of course, my mom, the great enabler she was, always came to my rescue. That wasn't good enough. I wanted more. My father, now that I've been given a gift, I'm older, I'm here to carry this message. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. I've been given this gift after 33 years to bring some hope. To bring this message that I once suffered tremendously. And I'm free. I'm a free man. And when I say free, I mean free. I can look anybody in the eye and tell them the truth, because the truth never changes. And I don't have to remember what I said. The truth, God, life, purity, respect, selfless, is always the most consistent motto I think a human being has. Always. Even surpasses my instincts. God could and would if he were sought. I'm not here to shove anything down your throat when it comes to that. That's why this step 2 says came to believe. My understanding might be different than yours. And that's okay. That's okay. So I wanted more than that. Always striving to be the attention of my father. My father was this very educated man. He was an Italian. He just passed a couple of years ago at 91. So you want to talk about old school. He was very old school. And he was at the age, in the era of World War II, or one, his parents shipped him off because the Italians, you know, Mussolini hooked up with Hitler. So his parents fled to England when he was 8 years old. 8 years old. Anybody have like 8 year old or seven? Not shipping your kid to another country. Because my father had eight children, was chosen to get the education. So he sent them back from London back to Italy. He never returned until he was doing his residency at the Italian hospital in London where he met my mother. As time went on, as I strived to learn more, to better myself, to get over some situations and feelings I had, my father had a tremendous amount of abandonment issues. Tremendous amount. And just like me, he did not know how to handle his emotions. So there was some hitting involved when I was a young boy. Very, very unmotivational. I strived always to get that love and that attention. And on my first year in baseball, I'm the starting pitcher in the Little League All-Star game. And my pop drives me to the field and says, "Have an awesome, you know, have a great game. I'll see you in a little bit." I go, "What?" That's the crushing blows when you're a little boy. Especially when you go down the field and all the other dads are there. So I kept wanting to be accepted, and my disease just got worse and worse and worse in my people pleasing skills. My life became so unmanageable. I never knew how to hold something down because everything I did was for everybody else's approval. There was no passion there. There was no want there. There was no, "I really want to do this to better myself." None of that ever. And I always had a little guy on my shoulder saying, "You're not worth anything. That's why you got touched. Don't you realize that?" The shame that was attached to that for many years to come always had an effect on how my relationships were with people. My disease got so bad. Before I showed up there, I had a seizure driving my vehicle. And it wasn't my first one. And when I woke up, I was on the side of the street. My clothes were off, paramedics were there, police were there, and I remember seeing my car in a million pieces. And when I was in the hospital, in the emergency room, it was the first time ever in my life a police officer talked to me as a human being and looked me in the eye and said, "Timmy, you need help. You need help." That's where this thing took me. Don't take it personally. Don't try to fix me. Take care of yourselves, because none of us are in the business of outcomes. None of us are in the business of outcomes. I don't have that type of power. There's one who does. We have to detach, because I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping, regardless of what you do, until the time is right and it's on His time, not mine. Because when it was on my time, it always worked out not so well. So this officer's talking to me in there, and he says to me, "Timmy, you know, with all these new shows we have on," he goes, "I know you've seen on the police shows, you know that expression, 'You're never going to believe this, but'. Yes, sir. Well, when your call came in, that 911 call said, 'You're never going to believe this, but it looks like there's some guy driving down the street having a seizure.' Uh,
guy never killed anybody. All of you that are new in this program, please, please take the suggestions. Please open up to another man. If you're a woman, open up to another woman. Please. Because I know so many people that are willing to give what they've been given so freely. Because we all know we can only keep what we give away. We can only keep what we give away. When I take, that well runs dry. It always does. This process has been amazing for me. Amazing. 3 years ago, my mother, I seen her the day before, because I had a brother. I already had 2 years into the program. My brother was already still going at it. And my father spent 2.5 days on the floor because my brother was incapable of helping. My father almost lost his life. And one of the gifts of many, I was able to bring my mom and dad from the west coast of Florida to the east coast of Florida. My relationship through the process of these 12 steps, through this fellowship, my sponsor, and being selfless, gave me this incredible opportunity to establish a relationship I never had with my parents. Never. All I did was ever sold from them. That's all. I always made up excuses. Three years ago, my mother fell off the couch one day with a massive stroke. And she's still alive today. She's lost her whole left side. Her inability to remember much. She lives in the now. And that's like the true example of now. It's all we got. We could all go see her now and go back 20 minutes and be like, we just seen her. I love my mother. When I got that call that she was in the hospital, you know, these guys kept telling me about powerlessness and power. You want to talk about powerlessness. When this relationship was so good, something I never had in my life with my mom and dad, and there she is motionless on the bed. There you go, Tina. You are powerless. But in the same moment, the beautiful gift of this transmission of the feeling of knowing something's going on, because I could just hold my mom's chair. I could hold my mom's hand. And something just told me everything was going to be okay. Something told me everything was going to be okay. I lost my father 2 years ago. When he passed that night, I got the phone call. I got to the room. I only had one father. The book doesn't come with us dying. There was sadness. But there was joy. I never knew there could be joy in death. I kissed my father on the forehead and said, Dad, thank you for the last 5 years. So glad we could be friends. And when the Undertaker came in, he walked in and I'm thinking, my gosh, I'm in a movie. He's reaching in, he's grabbing the fan. He's like, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I just want my dad to go exactly where he needs to go. And there went the tag on my father. to wrap my dad in the sheets, to give him one last kiss, and put that last bit of sheet over his head. I was forever grateful. One out of five boys, we all suffer from substance abuse. I was able to walk my father down all the way out the back of the hospital and put him in. I called my sponsor a few hours later, and he said it happened, didn't it? Because our relationship over the years, I never called him at 5:30 in the morning. Hey, what's up, Pat? Go for a run? He said it happened, didn't it? I said, yeah. My dad was going down. I said, you okay? I said, surprisingly, overall, I'm doing pretty good. Because it's amazing, isn't it? The acceptance. Powerlessness. Yeah. I said, but the main reason for my call is I'm calling to thank you for contributing to the man I am today. Because without your contribution, Pat, I would have never, ever been given this incredible last moment, last bit of life with my father. How can I ever repay you? He says, Timmy, you don't have to pay your homie anything. Just keep carrying the message. Just keep carrying the message. That was one of the most monumental parts in my life ever. Ever. Because the power of the message, because that message comes from a power greater than ourselves. And I choose to call that power God. Just like 25. And isn't that funny? Right after 25, it's We Agnostics. After that chapter. Lack of knowledge. Lack of proof. Right? Being agnostic. I'm extremely blessed to answer. I am no better than you. No better than any one of you. Life is what we make. When I was taking, when I was ill, when I was sick, when I was selfish, I was always kicked out of the flow. I was always out here spinning around. Always. Thank God today, a day at a time, I'm in this beautiful flow. And I meet these beautiful men, and I meet these beautiful women in my life. I have cool little moments like this tonight, walking in saying, whoa, Scott. Start reminiscing with a couple guys that were in Florida, Del Rey. This guy went through here 6 years ago, and he's still here, and my brother lived in Batesville, Arkansas, where he's from. I mean, come on, that's open up 450 years ago. There's 350 million people in this in the United States. This is all happening right now, exactly the way it's supposed to be. Exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because all of you who are affected by guys like me have this incredible ability, an incredible ability to do what they do here. And maybe some of you know it, and I hope all of you find it. Because that's who we are. Together we rock. That's why this whole program is always we. You never see I. It used to be about I constantly. Today I still get to see my mom. I talk to my mom because she's from England. You know, they were like a Daniel Steele novel. You know, it was 1953. My dad's in a London hospital doing his residency at the Italian hospital in London. There's my mom, you know, like 22 or something. You fall in love. My father comes to Portland in 1954. My mom waits a whole year. She comes. They get married. 60 years later, 5 kids.
Screw them all.
5 kids. They were inseparable. If you all didn't know. Well, you might know. Times that by 5, right? Inseparable at the hip. And here's this gift. I don't know the meaning of it, the purpose of it. I'm not that good. I'm a lot better than I used to be. I'm still not that good. But here's this gift for my mom, because if my mom didn't have this stroke, she would have been the classic following the death of her husband. I know it. You know that kind of relationship? One goes, the other follows. My mom had no idea. But I'll tell you one other story, and I'll start closing it up here. I'm 50 years old. A lot of things have changed. I'd say 40 years since I was 10. A lot. So when my father died, I have this thing called a cell phone, and it's got a camera on it. I didn't know now. I mean, I didn't really put two and two together at the time. But now I know. This thought came out of nowhere. Did I take a picture of that? That's weird. I didn't grow up like that. You didn't take... Is it morbid? I don't know. And all of a sudden, what about if mom asked? Just for whatever reason. Poor mom. She might... I don't know. A couple pictures. And as far out as my mom is, according to this human experience, I don't know how far out she is. She just might be a little stationary right now. Out of nowhere, asked me how did he look. What do you want to talk about? Lovely, beautiful. Well, it just so happened. You know, my mom looked at it, kept looking at it, and said, oh, he was such a beautiful man. He was such a beautiful man. And then, poof. What I have learned is that it doesn't matter what hardships and losses I endured in sobriety. I have not had to go back to drinking, or drugging in my case. As long as I work the program, which is the 164 pages of this book, this is the fellowship. As long as I work the program, keep being of service, alumni, rock, go to meetings, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, wives, husbands, you rock, because you're here, something bringing you here. Hopefully you got brought a powerful message, an inspirational message, that you're doing better than you think you are, because you are. Takes a lot to come here, going through what you're going through, and I commend you for it. And that's how we go. That's how we do it. Because if nothing changes. Nothing changes. Zip, zilch. Right? Right? The inner circle of peace. If I keep my spiritual life together, I can live a decent life. When I look back now. I think I stopped maturing at 15 when I started to get drunk with the older guys. I wanted to feel at peace with myself and comfortable with others. I never found it in drinking. The belonging I always wanted, I found in AA. In AA. And in sobriety, I don't think about drinking. God is there. He's in all of us and He's everywhere. Tap into it because you're so worth it. You're so worth it. God is there. My sponsor is there. All the credit belongs to God. On my own, I could have not quit. I know. I tried it. God bless you. God loves you. I love you. Thank you for your time. I love you all. Thank you.